right, turn to Proverbs chapter 8. I guess I'm a little stuck on Proverbs lately. It's all right. It's a good book. It's right in the middle of your Bible. I guess I'm going to maybe do it a little bit different than we normally do. We're going to read the whole chapter, chapter 8. I'm very focused on the very first verse, but wow. And we're going to read it in such a way as I'll read the first verse and the congregation reads the second verse. If you have a King James Bible, you can read it. Pause at the punctuation. If you see a comma, pause and keep up with everybody else and don't get too far ahead. And we'll get through the whole chapter and see if this doesn't bless you the way it blessed me. I'm in Proverbs chapter 8, starting with verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips.
All the words of my mouth are righteousness.
They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
I am wisdom well in the prudence, and find out knowledge of many.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice.
By me princes rule, and nobles, and all the judges.
I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth,
then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his
delight, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Lord, bless this word this morning. make it clear to all those that need to hear it and need to understand your word. I ask you to bless the word all the way to the heart, something we cannot reach, but you do, Lord. You turn the heart of every man. You can change people's minds and persuade them, and I ask you to do that this morning. I ask you in Jesus' name. All right. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" You want to know the title of this message? That's it. Doth not wisdom cry? I want to bring out 5 points in this message this morning. First of all, and you can see them all in this chapter. First of all, the excellence. The excellence of wisdom over folly, and the excellence of God's wisdom over man's wisdom. Number 2, the need. If there's one thing you can be absolutely sure of, you need God's wisdom. You need it more than your food. Third, the search. This wisdom is not automatic. It's not just automatic that you're going to understand the things of God. You've got to seek it. You've got to search for it. You've got to dig for it. And it's more valuable than rubies. Fourth, the gift. God gives wisdom. And fifth, the call. Did you hear the call? Doth not wisdom cry? It's calling you. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is calling you. All right, let's just start with just a point here to be made. The excellence of wisdom over folly, many times made. And I'm talking about even human wisdom, the kind of wisdom that comes from, say, getting a spanking. I'm not making that up. That's what the Bible says. It gives wisdom. It imparts wisdom to a child, and it'll deliver his soul from hell. I know some of you think, spanking a child, that's the horrible thing to do. I get it. But you ought to read the book of Proverbs. It talks about stripes for the fool's back and many other things like that. There was a time when corporal punishment was not so bad, not thought so bad. I don't know what has gotten into people. I remember a few years ago, there was an American kid. I don't know, he was a teenager or maybe in his early 20s, I'm not absolutely sure. But he was over there in Singapore, and he got messed up with drugs. And in Singapore, they don't mess around with that. They caught him with drugs, and so they sentenced him to, I don't know, 20 lashes with a cane. They were going to cane him. Y'all remember that? And I mean, a whole bunch of Americans just went apoplectic, could not stand the concept, the thought, the possibility that that man, that young man, was going to be hung up by his wrists and smacked with a cane. And I was thinking, you people really ought to give him a break. Let, you know, your prison system ain't all that great itself. It doesn't work that great, and it's a pretty cruel punishment as far as I can see. I'm not telling you, you don't know so much. You ought to have fewer opinions and more hearing. Be able to hear what God has to say a little bit better. Did you know that spankings impart wisdom? That's what the Bible says. Also, experience imparts wisdom. And there's an awful lot of wisdom that comes just by going through the hard knocks. If you don't spank your children, don't worry. They're going to get this human wisdom through the juvenile justice system. Or through boot camp. Yeah. Or through a bar fight. They'll get the wisdom eventually. And if they are foolish and refuse that wisdom, then they're going to die young. All right. There is an excellence of wisdom, even human wisdom, over folly. The Bible says wisdom is even better than riches. I believe it was Solomon himself said, I don't know who keeps putting this over there where I'm stepping on it. Solomon himself said that wisdom is a defense, yes, and money is a defense, but the excellency of wisdom is that it gives life to them that possess it. It gives life to those that have it. So there is a value in wisdom, any kind of wisdom you can get. And you want to know how to get the wisdom? Why don't you hang around wise people? Why don't you find somebody with gray hair? Just sit down and listen. Don't talk. I know that old folks don't like to talk as much as young folks. So you might actually have to bite your tongue and wait for the old person to start talking. But it's worth your while. It's worth your while to wait and have them speak. Now, not always. It's only if it's in the way of righteousness. There's a lot of old fools. That is true. But gray hair does have a tendency to impart a little wisdom. It just helps out a little bit. Have you gone through it all? And coming from a long line of people giving advice, I'm telling you, that gives you some practical wisdom. It's much better than being a know-it-all when you're young and don't know anything. It's much better than having so many opinions and have no understanding. And that's basically the way we are nowadays. Did you notice that nowadays young people have all of the platforms? They have all of the voices. Everything is being run by young people. Did you know that? And when they gave children, I say 18-year-olds, the right to vote, we're all ruled by children. At least if you're in a democracy, you're ruled by children. It's what the young people want. That's what's going to get elected. That's what's going to be happening. And the reason why is because there are more young people than there are old people. But I don't know in what universe it makes sense to let the young people do all the decision making. That doesn't make sense to me. It seems to me we ought to be ruled by our elders. And so if we were wise, we would only let old people vote. Let's see if we can get that passed. All right, it's definitely clear that wisdom is better than folly, right? You learn some things if you just hang around wise people. And if you'll listen to reproof, the Bible says if you will allow somebody to rebuke you, to correct you, to instruct you, you know how proud people are? They don't want to accept rebuke, and they don't want to accept correction, and they don't want to accept instruction. Even little children, have you ever noticed it? It's good in some ways that little children try to do things on their own, because you're going to have to learn sooner or later. But how many times does a little child say, no, I want to do it, I want to do it? And they don't know anything about it. But they learn by trial and error. But it would be so much better if you could just take some instruction, just take a little bit of reproof. And the Bible says this many, many times in many, many ways. But I also want to point out the excellence of God's wisdom much more than human wisdom. And the Bible repeats this many times. I do believe that the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs is talking about that special wisdom of God that he grants, that he imparts to people who seek it as if it were lost treasure. He grants it. He gives it. And it's a wisdom of God that will allow you to know God. And that's a much more valuable thing than anything else you can find on earth. For example, Proverbs chapter 23 verse 4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Don't be too smart for yourself. Yeah? You ever heard the word smarty pants? Solomon says, for in much wisdom is much grief, increases sorrow. He says, there's no wisdom in the grave. It dies with you. Now, that's a real shame. All these old folks dying off, all their wisdom gone, just disappears in the grave. Just turns to molecules, turns to ashes. That's what happens to the human wisdom. Surely there's got to be something that lasts longer than that, right? You'd expect. Well, let's look at verse 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? You know, there's a lot of smart people in this world, and they are smart alecks. They think they know an awful lot, and they do know an awful lot. They know a lot more than you do, and they can run circles around you in an argument. But what does God say? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That is to believe the gospel, believe the Bible. Paul says in the next chapter, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There is an excellence to the wisdom that comes from God that carries, there's a limit to what human wisdom can do for you. I don't care how smart you are, there's a limit to your knowledge. There's a limit to how far you can go. And it's so proven all the time that people do not know, they do not know what to do in all of these situations. And everything they do has negative consequences, it seems. It's like they cannot add two and two together when it comes to spiritual things. They can't see it. They don't understand it. And we could go on and on about this. I don't want to get sidetracked or bogged down just in this one point. But you ought to know that God is offering you a kind of wisdom that goes far beyond the wisest thing you can learn on this earth. The wisest thing you can learn by experience, God offers you something more. And let me tell you, when God starts explaining this, it at first seems like this cannot be. I was talking to a fella yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, maybe it was Friday, I can't remember. But he was a Church of Christ fella, and I asked him if he was saved, and he said, I was baptized 20 years ago or whatever. And I said, well, yeah, but when you got baptized, had you decided to give your life to the Lord? Was it a real decision? Did you put your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you? He said, well, that's what baptism is. And I tried to explain to him, and he immediately switched over and started criticizing those once saved, always saved folks. And I piped right up and said, I'm one of them. I believe that. I believe once saved, always saved. I said, you just got to understand what it is. And it just threw him. He could not understand how somebody could think they're saved by the power of God, by pure grace, and that it doesn't depend upon you at all. Could not understand that. And the reason why he could not understand that is because he was reasoning with his own wisdom. And he couldn't see what the Bible says about God's mercy and grace and how God gives it to you freely so that your love to him would be unconditional. That's the whole point. That is the point. And I could go into that in much greater detail. I won't, because I want to get to my other points here. But I will point out that there's an awful lot of things found in the Bible that you will not figure out on your own. You read them in the Bible and it first strikes you as, that sounds a very little bit strange. Like things like imputation and things like predestination and things like the Trinity and things like that. You know what I'm talking about. Salvation by grace, without works, without merit. Oh, these things are hard to believe, hard to accept, but it's what the Bible says. And once you embrace it, once you let the Bible tell you what you don't know and you allow the Bible to correct your misperceptions about God, when you do that, God gives you that wisdom that comes from him, and it opens up the entire world for you, because you allow God to speak to you. You allow God to show you things that you don't know. Or do you think you're so smart you don't need to be taught by God? Do you think you're so smart that you do not need God at all? This brings me to my second point, the need. You need God's wisdom. Just how smart are you? I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I talk with people who aren't in the throes of affliction like was taught on this morning. They're not being afflicted at this moment. But and that makes them have this sense of invulnerability, or this sense of, sufficiency. They believe they have sufficiency to make it in this life. They know how to make a living. They know how to fix their car. They know how to light the hot water heater when it goes out on them. They know all kinds of things. And they've got a few answers. They know who they're going to vote for. They've got some knowledge. They've got some answers. And then when you try to show them that they need God, it just doesn't ring true to them. They just don't see the need. But what about when everything falls apart? What about when you're diagnosed with cancer and you're going to die in 3 months? Do you not realize that you need God? Do you not realize that this was not just a waste? That you're not just a rock or a molecule or something that is that accidentally popped up on this earth? That you're made in God's image, and that he has given you something, and that it's worth preserving and it's worth seeking after. It's worth treasuring. That's what you are. You are valuable to God. And if you don't realize that, you'll be so foolish as to think you have no need for God. I've always wondered what atheists say to their children when grandma dies. I actually read a little article on that, and it was pitiful. It was this circle of life nonsense. That grandma's still alive somewhere in some molecular form, somewhere feeding worms or something. I don't know. It was not comforting at all. I would hate to be that grandchild. Do you not realize that you need God? Are you so foolish that you don't know that you need God and you need His wisdom and you need His knowledge and you need His guidance? Do you not realize that? How about if you just look at the world? You think this world doesn't need God? You think we're all progressing, getting better and better? There was a time when people thought that the world was getting better. But just look out there. Look out there right now. Does the world look like it's getting better?
No.
You know what I heard last night? I heard like 12 or 13 gunshots. Boom, boom, boom. Right out in my neighborhood. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, yeah, we're in a much better place now. We don't need God, right? Our city doesn't need God, right? Our country doesn't need God, right? The world doesn't need God, right? Oh, you haven't even seen anything yet. Things are going good now. You're going to be looking back at these days as the good old days. I don't want to just be a downer, but things are going to get worse. The Bible already has told you what's going to happen. This world is going to become more regimented until they finally say you cannot buy or sell until you take the mark. That's what the Bible says. And you might deny it. You might think that the Bible is just an old book with a bunch of mythology talking about pillars of heaven and stuff. And you are so smart. But what about when it starts to happen and everything starts falling into place and it comes out exactly what the Bible said all along? Then will you listen to God? No. Because God's going to send you a hardened heart. Strong delusion so that you'll believe a lie because you loved not the truth. God is no fool and He cannot be mocked. You need God right now. And if you're so foolish as to think you don't need Him, well then when it comes time and you have no choice but to cry out to Him, He will not hear you. Read Proverbs chapter 1. When I called, you did not answer. Therefore, when you call in your calamity, I will not hear you. Oh, that sounds awful mean, but that's what it says. You want to know what the Bible describes humanity as? You think humanity is a great thing? I know there's probably some humanists in here thinks that humanity is the greatest thing that ever happened. At least the best thing since sliced bread, right? That's humanity. We're wonderful. We're wonderful. The only thing better than us is puppies. Proverbs 5 says, His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Psalm 9, The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. They need God, and they need God's wisdom, and they need it now. No, they need it yesterday. That's what the world is. Proverbs 13 says, Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Have you ever looked at the lives of transgressors? It's hard. Romans 3 says, Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Titus 3 says, We ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Paul says in Ephesians, In time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You don't even know you're being manipulated by devils. Don't even know it. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And Peter says at this point, he says, the time past of our life should suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, that's in wild parties, and abominable idolatries. What does God say in Isaiah 44? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? God sees. He sees the trouble, the turmoil, the great need, the great brokenness of this world. He sees it all the time. And he says, look at them. They feed on ashes. They can't even tell that they're being lied to. Day in and day out being lied to. You want to know how to know that you're being lied to? Just turn on the television. You're being lied to. They're lying to you. They're telling you what they want you to think. They're manipulating you with words. You're being lied to every single day. Just read the ads in Craigslist. You're being lied to. Whatever they send you on the text message. If you see an advertisement on television, they're lying. They're lying. You don't even know it. You don't even realize how great a brokenness is in your life. How is it possible that your life can be destroyed? How is it possible? I was listening to some celebrity. He was a singer-songwriter, whatever. I think it was Billy Joel. Is that a name? Is that Billy Joel? And he was talking about how wonderful and great and everything. And I looked it up, and the guy has had a horrible life. Oh, bless his heart. Doesn't even know he's suffering. Bless his heart. Well, there is a need. You need him more than your necessary food. Every single day you need him. And if you're not waking up in the morning, looking up to God and saying, God, today I need you. You just have not opened your eyes. You're just not aware yet. You're just not clear. Boy, do you need God. All right. There's the search. It's also found right here in this chapter. You noticed it. He says, you search for it. It's better than rubies. It's like a treasure that you go and find. And when you find, you have to dig for it. And you get it, and it's valuable. But this is more valuable. It's better than rubies. It's better than diamonds. It's better than gold, even choice silver. It's better than all that stuff. It's a search. This wisdom is hidden. It must be searched for. It must be asked for. You don't have it. You don't have what it takes. You cannot deliver your own soul. You don't have the wisdom that God has to give you. You do not have it. It's not automatic. You don't just find it on the surface. You don't even have enough understanding to understand the Bible when he speaks to you. Because it's spiritually discerned, the Bible says. Because God has to open it up to you so your mind can receive it. And you can absorb it. And it can change the way you think. But you're just so dull. So dull of hearing. So dull-minded. You can't let God even get into a crack in the door. You just can't open the door that much. What a shame. What a shame. But no, you should be searching for it. One of the saddest passages in the Bible is over there in Romans chapter 3, where it says, there is none that seeketh after God. I'm sorry, it says, there is none that understandeth. And then it says, there is none that seeketh. You'd think somebody who has no understanding would be seeking. What is the point of somebody who has no understanding and is not seeking? You don't want to know. Sure, you don't know how to light your hot water heater. Fine, I get it. You just take cold showers. That's fine. That's not a big deal. But if you don't know what pleases and displeases God, you ought to be trying to find out. Amen. And if you don't know what's going to happen to you when you die, you ought to be searching to find out. This is something you have to seek for. You have to look for it. You got to say, God, show me. What does Psalm 90 say? Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You ought to number your days. You ought to know when you're in the last part of your life. I was getting a kick out. I saw Jerry Jones. Is it Jimmy Jones? Jerry Jones? Somebody like that. Owns the Dallas Cowboys. He was 80 something. Probably close to my dad's age. 80, 82, 85. I don't know. 80, and he was talking about the future. He was talking about long-term investments. 80-something, long-term investments. You might ought to be wise and number your days. How did that man say? He says his fields brought forth plenty. And he says, my goodness, I've got it made. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to store it up. I'm going to have everything I need for many days. It's going to be wonderful. And Jesus said, thou fool, you didn't know that today your soul was going to be required of thee. Today, your soul is going to be required of you. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know. You ought to be searching. You ought to be seeking. You ought to know what God says. Teach us to number our days. Can't you see you're going to die? And if you're going to die, wake up. Wake up and find God. Seek Him with all your heart. You say, well, I haven't found Him yet. Seek Him harder. Try harder. Stop complaining about midweek services. Go find Him. Go find Him. Go seek Him out. Look for Him in the Bible. Search for Him as if it were hidden treasure. That's what the Bible tells you to do. 1 Corinthians 2 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There is a hidden wisdom that God wants to give you, but He wants you to seek it. He wants you to want it. He wants you to ask for it. You don't believe me? He wants you to ask for it. Some people actually read the Bible, but they read it with such a dull mind they can't understand it. And let me tell you something, you need some help. You need some help even to understand the Bible, not just because it has old English. You can get a brand spanking new Bible with all kinds of modern English, and you still won't understand it. Why? It's a spiritually discerned book. It's something that God's Spirit opens up to you and makes it real to you. It actually makes it alive to you. The Bible says it's quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's our book. That's the book we're talking about. You need help. You ought to be searching for it. There's another point that I want to make, and that is that it's a gift. Did you know that the wisdom that I'm talking about here, this wisdom that Proverbs is talking about, is a gift? God will give it to you if you seek it. You're not smart enough, you're not wise enough, but He does give wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 6, just a few pages before what we read, says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, now why didn't God just dump it in our brains? Why didn't He just, when we were born, give it to us? The Bible says He deprived the ostrich of wisdom. He deprived the ostrich of wisdom, so that she layeth her eggs and forgetteth where she laid them, and then she steps on them. Of course, we got humans that don't care about their own offspring, and they kill them. They kill them in the womb. Now, I'm not trying to pick on you if you've done that. You ought to repent. Just say, God, I need to be forgiven. But you shouldn't be doing that. Understanding comes from God. And the wisdom to know Him comes from God. Did you know it was a gift? There's an awful lot of things that are a gift. You can't earn it. You could not deserve it, no matter how you tried. But all you do is you seek it. You say, God, I want it. And you desire it like silver, the Bible says. You desire it like gold. It says, through desire, a man. I'm going to have to read that. Anybody know where that's found? Through desire, a man. I don't have it written down. Intermeddleth with all wisdom. It requires desire. It's in the Proverbs. It requires desire. Do you not desire it? Do you not want the wisdom of God? Do you not want God to speak to you and give you His understanding and give you His wisdom and to give you His Spirit so that you can communicate with Him and converse with Him and be a friend of God? Did you know that that's possible? It's a gift. God wants to give it to you. Isn't that an amazing thing? That's an astonishing fact. Wow. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail. 1 Kings 4 says, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Job 38, God himself said, who hath put wisdom in the inner parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? It's God. God's the one that gives the wisdom that comes from above. No, that's true. Did you know that the Bible talks about all kinds of human wisdom? It talks about the corrupt wisdom. It talks about the fleshly wisdom, the wisdom of this world, the man's wisdom. It mentions all those kind of things. It also mentions earthly wisdom, and it mentions sensual wisdom, and it mentions devilish wisdom. But the wisdom which cometh from above is first pure and then peaceable. My goodness, what a tremendous gift that God gives us. It comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's the God that gives us the wisdom, and he wants you to have it. Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Jeremiah 9 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You hear what God is saying? He gives it to you. You want the glorious result of your life? It's to know God. And if you don't know him, bless your heart, you're a babe in the woods. You don't know anything worth knowing if you do not know God. If you do not know him as a savior, if you do not know him as your creator, if you do not know him as your redeemer, if you do not know him as your friend, as your father, as your best hope, if you do not know him, you don't know anything worthwhile. Now, I'm not trying to be critical or dismissive of how smart you are, how much you've accomplished. I'm amazed at how the people who have accomplished the least are the most proud of their accomplishments. All right, there's one more point I want to make, and that's the call. Doth not wisdom cry? God says you ought to be searching for it. But you notice that people don't search for it. There's none that seeketh after God, the Bible says, at least naturally, in their natural state, they don't seek after God. They're not interested. They're interested in the latest video game, but they're not interested in what God has to say. They're not interested in God's way of thinking. Did you know this wisdom of God is more like a world view? It's like a mentality that God wants to put in you so that you'll start thinking right. That's what wisdom is, sound judgment. It's just a matter of understanding things and being able to make a good, beneficial decision for yourself and the people who depend upon you. That's what wisdom is. And God says, I've got it for you. You ought to be seeking it with all your heart, but you're not. And so you know what God does? He cries. That is, he shouts out loud. He says, come. Did you hear the cry? Doth not wisdom cry? What does it say? Proverbs 1 says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You see, if you're not seeking God, I want to point out to you, God is seeking you. Now that's amazing. You see, you get someone that is so disrespectful to you and so disregarding of you, And then they have a need. You're not looking at them. You're not trying to help them out. They were disrespectful to you. That's the way you are. That's our human way of being. But God is greater than we are. And He sees how disrespectful we've been to Him all of our life, pretending we're smart, acting like we know something when we really don't. And God says, why aren't they seeking me? They are so ignorant and so broken and have such deep need, and yet they still don't seek me. They don't seek me early. They don't even seek me late. They're not interested in my things. So what does He do? He cries. He shouts. He says, come. He even beseeches. He begs. That's the God we're talking about. The God that actually cares about you enough to beg you to not throw away your life. Don't throw away your life. Why will you die? He says. Don't you know I have the power? He has everything in His hand. Why would you die? Why would you hate me? What have I done you wrong? He says in Jeremiah. What wrong have you found in me that you would deny me or reject me even though I'm crying out for you? I remember Jesus said the statement. He was talking about some cities that He had gone preaching in, and they just were not very moved by His preaching. And I don't know how you could not be moved by Jesus' preaching, because He definitely was a better preacher than any of us. But they weren't moved by His preaching. And He says, you know, in the day of judgment, Nineveh is going to stand up and condemn this generation. Yeah. He also said something about the Queen of the South. Said the Queen of the South came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And He says, I'm right standing in front of you, and you won't cross the street to hear me. What do you think God has? What do you think He would have to do to get you to wake up and hear His voice and to seek Him with all your heart and to be humble enough at His rebuke and His rebuke and His reproof so that when He tells you you're wrong in such and such, or you ought to correct this, or you ought to stop doing that, or you ought to obey this, when He tells you your attitude is wrong, when He tells you whatever it is, maybe He tells you your dress is too short. I don't know. Maybe He tells you your hair is too long. I don't know. Why would that offend you? Why wouldn't you let God correct you? What if God says you need to stop going with those people and you need to start hanging out with people who believe my book? Why couldn't God tell you that? Why couldn't God change your mind and turn you and make you go a different direction? If God tells you not to pray to the Virgin Mary, why don't you just say, I won't then? Amen. If He tells you not to bow down to an image, why don't you just say, okay, God, whatever you say, I won't do it. It's just that simple. If you don't allow the Bible to change your mind, then you have rejected God's wisdom. What does He say right here in this chapter? Verse 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. God is begging you to listen. You haven't sought Him. You know it. You have not sought Him like you should have. But He's seeking you. And He says, hear me. Listen to me. Change your mind. Turn around. Ask me for forgiveness. Ask me for help. I'm here. I'm a very ready, present help in the day of trouble. Here I am. I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll give you everything you need for eternity and every good blessing. It'll all be yours. You just have to accept my invitation. Did you know that God is giving you an invitation? How many times does He say, come? Some of the last words in the book are, the Spirit and the Bride say, come! You are not rejected. God has not turned you down. I know you've been disregarding of Him. I know you've been scornful. I know you've been self-righteous and a smart aleck. I know you have been. But God still hasn't turned you down. He still hasn't rejected you. He still is holding His hands out to you saying, come, come. This is an amazing fact that God still wants you. All you have to do is say, "Here I am, Lord. Take me the way I am. Accept me how I am. I've got nothing to offer you." Just like the thief on the cross, hands outstretched, nailed to a cross. "I can't offer you anything, but would you remember me when you come in your kingdom?" And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's a saved man who had nothing to offer God. Did you know you can be saved the same way? You just got to let God speak to you. You've got to be willing to accept God's correction, God's wisdom. And he's calling out. Do you hear him? Doth not wisdom cry? Isn't he saying, "Come"? He's saying it to you. You can have it. I'm assuming that there's somebody in this room that wants it. Because boy, if I was out there sitting in that audience or listening to me over the internet, I'd want it. Man, I want what God has to offer. If you want it, you can have it. You don't have to wait. You don't got to wait till tomorrow. You don't got to wait till you're older. You don't have to wait till you get all the things right in your life. You can just tell God right now, "I have nothing to offer you, but I want what you have to offer me. If you'd give it to me, I'll take it." And you just claim Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can do that today. You can do it right now before you leave this building. Amen. If you want to know more about that, I'm here. I'd be glad to show you in the Bible what it says about your situation. Don't leave without talking to me if that's your case. If you want it, don't leave without talking to me. That's your invitation, and I'm serious about it, and God is serious about it. Lord, I ask you to bless this congregation because, Lord, we came here to worship you, and you're the only thing worth in our life. It's the only thing of value. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our blessed God. You are the giver of all good gifts. You're the wise God, the only wise God. We submit to your word, Lord. We accept it. There's somebody here that doesn't know you as a Savior and wants it. Lord, I ask you to deal with their heart and make them seek you out early, Lord, until they know that they have salvation. I ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight at 7 o'clock. You are welcome to come.